Well, today we are going to be continuing our series that we started a few weeks back. It's our Christmas series titled Advent, Anticipation of the King. And it's this series that's been walking us through Advent. What Advent is, the season of Advent. Now, as I shared the last few weeks, this word Advent actually means coming. Okay, it means arrival. And so the focus of Advent is to celebrate the birth of Jesus and his first coming. But it's also a reminder of our anticipation of his second coming. We sang that song earlier. We believe, right? We believe he's coming back again. His return once and for all. And so in keeping with this season of Advent, each week we light one of the Advent candles up here behind me. There are five different candles, each candle representing something. There's a candle that represents hope. There's a candle that represents peace. There's a candle that represents joy. There's a candle that represents love, and then that candle in the center, that final candle, it's the Christ candle, because he's the one who brings these things to us. He brings hope. He brings peace. He brings joy. He is love. He's all these things. And so 2 weeks ago, we lit the hope candle and talked about the hope that we have through this story of Christmas, the hope that Jesus brought to us some 2,000 years ago. Then last week we lit the peace candle and we talked about the peace that Jesus gave to his people. As he said when he left, when he ascended, peace I give to you. And so today now we're going to light the joy candle as we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord. And for some reason, I even looked this up once and maybe I just didn't study far enough. But for whatever reason, joy is the pink candle. All the other candles are purple. The Christ candle is white, of course, the purity of God. But the joy candle is pink. And maybe I need to do a little bit more studying to figure out what that is. All I know is this, is that the joy candle is pink. So on the third week, you light the pink candle, all right? So today we light the joy candle, the pink candle, which represents his joy. And today we're going to talk about the joy that God wants to give to each one of us that's here. Now, I think it'd be safe for us to say that joy is something that all of us would desire. We all want to experience joy. We all want to have joy in our life. But the big question for all of us is where do we find joy? Where does this joy come from? Now, as we find ourselves in the middle of the Christmas season, there are a lot of people out there who are writing out their Christmas wish list, right? All those things that they want and hope for Christmas. Many parents are waiting in lines for hours, right, to get those perfect gifts. Many of you, you know, Black Friday, and actually now it's like Black Thursday, you know, or whatever. But people waiting in line for those perfect gifts, waiting and hoping with expectation that they get those special things that they've been wanting and waiting for, those things that they've been eyeing for some time now. And there's different things for different people, depending on who you are and where you're from. You know, for some people, maybe it's like Christmas, you know, this idea of maybe like a new car, right? You know, you've seen those commercials at Christmas time. We all would love to walk out on Christmas, right, in this beautiful white snow and to see a car out there with a big giant bow on it, right, with our name. That's our new car, right? You know, and so maybe for some it's a new car. I don't know. For some people, maybe it's a new computer, or maybe some people like the fancy jewelry, you know, or maybe a diamond to go on your ring finger, you know, whatever it may be, video games, whatever. We all want different things. There's all these things we desire. But the question is, well, what are we hoping that these gifts will actually bring us? What is it that we really want, that we're really hoping for with these gifts? Is it happiness? Is it contentment? Is it joy? Do we think that these are the kind of things that some 2,000 years ago the angel was talking about when it said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people? Was what the angel saying, was that like Isaiah's prophecy? If you remember, we talked about Isaiah's prophecy about the coming king, and it was like 700 years later that before Jesus actually came. Was what the angel saying, was that like Isaiah's prophecy, something that would take place maybe hundreds or perhaps thousands of years later, as if the angels were saying, just wait, in like 2,000 years, the technology, it's going to be amazing. There are going to be these cars with computers in it. It's going to be awesome, right? There'll be these things like tablets and iPhones and iWatches and PS4s and Xbox Ones, right? You guys in the front row wanting those things. Numerous other gadgets, you know? And it's then, some 2,000 years from now, it's then that people will experience joy like never before. You think that's what the angels were talking about when they said, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people? I don't think so. We know that's not what the angels were talking about. When we talk about joy from a biblical perspective, it goes beyond happiness. It goes beyond stuff. Because happiness, it's just an emotion, right? It's an emotion. It's something that we experience through circumstances, right? If things are going well, we're happy. If things are going bad, we're not happy. But joy is something that we have the ability to experience regardless of the circumstances. Joy is actually a miracle. It's a miracle that comes from the Lord. And to talk about joy this morning, I want to take a look at a story that involves two women. Two women who never imagined that they would experience joy in the way that they did. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, sorry, I have gone through puberty. My voice is cracking there. It felt like this flashbacks of when I was in middle school, high school. But in the verses leading up to verse 26, before we get to 26 here, Zechariah and Elizabeth, okay, they are told by an angel that they are going to have a son, and that this son is the one who will pave the way for the Messiah. Now, we know that this son is John the Baptist, right? We know that if you know the scriptures, if you know who it's referencing, we know that it's John the Baptist who will pave the way for Jesus. And so keep this in mind as we read here, beginning in verse 26, when the angel now appears to Mary. So Luke 1, verse 26 through 45 this morning says this: In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is he who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And we end there. Now, our story, as we begin here in verse 26, it begins with these two women who have become pregnant. Two women who really shouldn't be pregnant. Elizabeth, she was very old, okay, and was barren. Hadn't had children. She was barren. She thought there was no chance for her to ever have a child. And then Mary, she was a virgin. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. I won't go into the depth. Apparently my wife said I got a little too crazy about that last time, okay? But if you know what that means, what being a virgin means, you know it's literally impossible by the world standards for her to be pregnant. But these pregnancies, both of them, they were miracles. They were the work of God. It was something beyond our world. It was supernatural. And these miracles, they brought this amazing joy to both Mary and Elizabeth. Now, in the scriptures, we see that Mary travels to see Elizabeth once she learns that they're both pregnant. And I'm guessing the reason she does this is because she believes that Elizabeth can relate here to what she's going through, okay? And I'm guessing Mary could probably use a friend right now. In the midst of what she's just found out, in the midst of knowing what's going on, I'm assuming that she could use someone that she could trust. Because as amazing as this pregnancy is, it's some pretty crazy stuff, okay? When you think about this, when you think about what's just been told to Mary, perhaps this is why Gabriel told her about Elizabeth, knowing that she would need some moral support, someone that would be able to understand what she was going through, someone who would actually believe her, right? Think about that. Think about in this time. Honestly, how many of us would have believed this story? If Mary just kind of came up to you, you know, if you were Mary's mom, Mom, I have something to tell you, right? You know, many of us would be like, yeah, sure, God just made you pregnant, right? You know, it would be unbelievable for so many people if you hadn't been visited by an angel yourself and told what was going to happen. It would probably be hard to believe. And so Mary knows that Elizabeth is someone safe, that someone that she can go to, that can trust, that can relate to her in this moment in time. And the cool thing is, when she arrives at Elizabeth's house, something amazing happens. In verse 44, Elizabeth says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. It's like John the Baptist, little JTB in there, okay? He knew something, okay? He knew something that was going on. The child there in her stomach, it leaped for joy, and it filled Elizabeth herself with this joy of the Lord. She realized that this child inside of Mary was no ordinary child. This was the Messiah. This was Jesus, the soon-to-be Lord. And Elizabeth is humbled and overjoyed that Mary, the mother of her Lord, would come and visit her. And I wonder if maybe that's not an encouragement to us. Maybe we too should feel humbled and joyful that the Lord would come and visit us. That He would give up the glories of heaven and come to this broken earth to demonstrate His love for each of us. He came for everybody, for all people. And it all began with these two women in impossible circumstances. One who was barren, way past childbearing years. And now she was going to give birth to what would be one of the last old day prophets, who would eventually pave the way for Jesus. And then the other, a virgin, at the very beginning of her childbearing years, who God made pregnant miraculously without the help of a man, okay? And this child that was inside her, Jesus, would end up being the foundation of a new covenant. He would be the Messiah that God had promised long ago to His people. Now, the truth is, all children are a gift. And there's nothing more amazing for a parent than experiencing the birth of their own child. All day yesterday, my niece was in labor. And my sisters and I, because it's my little sister, weird. My little sister is a grandma before I'm a grandpa, okay? My little sister is texting me and telling me what's going on, and we're walking through, and just this amazing thing. And then when she finally had the baby, just the smile on her face and the picture of her with this little one, there's nothing more amazing than bringing a child into this earth, into this world. Childbearing is always such an amazing thing, but how much greater of a miracle were these births? Both of these pregnancies were considered by the world to be impossible. Both of them were miracles of God, and they were part of God's plan for salvation. God was making it very clear that it is He who brings things that are new into this world. That salvation is not the result of human effort, but of God's hand reaching miraculously and mysteriously into our world. The baby in Elizabeth's womb, it leaped for joy when Mary greeted her. Something new and wondrous was at work. Miracles were happening. God had broken the silence. You heard me say God had been silent for some 400 years before Jesus. God had broken the silence, and through it all, He was creating joy. So through this story of Mary and Elizabeth and the miraculous place they found themselves, I want to share with you three things this morning that I believe God wants us to understand when it comes to joy. The first thing is this: we have to understand that joy is a gift from God. It's a gift from Him. It's a miraculous gift. According to the Scriptures, joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that God brings about in the lives of those who seek Him, who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, was filled with joy. And Mary, we were actually to keep on reading, if we went to verse 47, she also rejoiced at what God was doing. She says in verse 47, "My spirit rejoices," she says, "in God my Savior." And you see, rejoicing is simply our joy directed towards God in worship. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells Nicodemus, if you remember, that a person must be born again. That he must be born of water, the first natural birth, but also born of the Spirit. He must be born again. These images of birth, they surround the message of salvation, this Christmas message. The birth of John through Elizabeth, the birth of Jesus, and the birth of new life that we experience when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. And all these births bring us joy through the power of the Holy Spirit. A joy that can only come from the Creator Himself, from God Himself. Now John paved the way for the Lord. And then Jesus, He brought the hope of salvation to the world. And that good news is cause for joy to anyone who will accept it, who will accept that gift. It's a gift given to us. It's a gift given to all people. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we walking through this Christmas season with the joy of the Lord in our lives? These miracles that Elizabeth and Mary experienced, they were gifts from God. The miracle of joy and new life in Christ, it's a gift that God gives to each of us. Are we grabbing hold of that gift? Because we must accept the gift, right? What good is a gift if we don't unwrap it? Someone can give us a gift and I can put it on my desk. And what good does that gift mean if we don't open it up and accept that gift? God wants us to understand that joy, it's supernatural. It's a gift that He wants to give us. And that's a pretty exciting thing if we understand that and really know what that means. But the second thing God wants us to understand about joy this morning may not be as exciting, okay? And that's because of this. It's the fact that joy is often accompanied by challenges. Yay! Preach it, Pastor. Joy is often mixed with adversity, with struggles, and difficulties and challenges. But the thing is, I think for us to truly understand joy, we have to first understand sorrow. This is definitely the case for Mary. Why do you think that Mary needed to go and get moral support from her cousin Elizabeth? Yes, I believe that she knew that the joy of being used by God. I believe that she understood that joy. Wow, God would use me. That there was a joy there. But what about the social challenges that she was now about to face? Being pregnant before marriage in this day and age was not cause for celebration, at least in the Jewish culture. As a matter of fact, it could actually get you killed. For a woman her age to become pregnant outside of marriage could have meant death. And if that wasn't enough, if it wasn't enough just to deal with that aspect of it, have you ever thought about what it would be like knowing that you were going to give birth to the Son of God? Right? Think about the fears and stress of having to raise the Son of God. What if I do something wrong? I've never even been a parent before, and now I'm raising God. What if I mess Jesus up, okay? You know, can you imagine the thoughts going through Mary? What if he ends up needing counseling or something, you know? All these thoughts that Mary is having, and I may be exaggerating a little bit here, but we can't deny the challenges. We can't deny that this joy that of having Jesus, being able to have this child, we can't deny that this joy, the gift that was given to Mary, came with great challenges. It wasn't like, oh, look, it's the most wonderful thing in the world and now there's no problems. No, it came with great challenges. But here's the thing. She willingly followed God's will and walked in obedience despite and in the midst of the challenges. For us to know joy, for us to be able to experience joy in the midst of the trials and the struggles, we have to be willing to continue to walk in obedience. We may start down that road, but when we face those challenges, we turn around and head back the other direction. If we really want to experience the joy of the Lord, we have to be willing to continue to walk in obedience. We have to be willing to sacrifice like Mary did, to submit ourselves to the will of God, even if it doesn't turn out the way we think it should. Do you think when the angel came to Mary, she thought, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And it'll probably look like this. Yeah, I'll be persecuted and my son will grow up and be hung on a cross. Do you think that's what she imagined in her head when it first happened? I'm sure at first it was all the joy and the excitement, and then you begin to face the challenges. But she submitted herself to the will of God and continued to move forward. And we have to continue, because sometimes God calls us to do things that we never realized could bring joy in our lives. We think, no way, that's too much, God, I cannot do that. But as we walk in obedience, we get to experience the blessing of His joy. I'll give you an example, and I've shared this before, and maybe you're tired of this example, but it's my example, and it's real. It's a great example of what I'm talking about, because I never thought that I could experience joy as a senior pastor. It's true. I never thought that I could be excited about being a senior pastor. As a youth pastor, I always said, well, if God called me to it, I would do it. I would do what He told me to do. But I honestly, number one, I never thought He would. I thought, no, I'm a youth pastor for life. He's not going to call me to senior pastor. I never thought He would call me. And I surely didn't think that if He did call me, that it would ever be something that I actually enjoyed. I hung out with my senior pastor a lot, and that's why I didn't want to be a senior pastor. I was like, I don't ever want to deal with what you have to deal with. I'm glad I'm just the associate youth pastor, that you get to deal with all that, and I just am here to serve, okay? But I can honestly say this. I wouldn't change it now for the world. And here's the thing, it is honestly the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. It's true, it's the hardest thing. The Marine Corps has got nothing on pastoring, okay? It's the hardest thing that I've ever done. You've heard me talk about this before. This road of senior pastoring, it's had its challenges. And it's interesting, because before we planted the church, we were given some statistics about church planting. We went to all these things talking about church planting and pastoring a new church. One of those statistics told us, hey, just be prepared. When you plant that church, 50 to 75% of the people that you plant with will be gone in the first year to year and a half. 50 to 75%. I'm thinking, come on, no way. That is not going to happen, all right? Number one, people love me too much, okay? But no, that must be the, you know, those statistics. It'll be different for us. But guess what? At the year and a half mark, I went and I looked. I looked at the list of people that were here in our first couple meetings, not even before we planted the church. Our meetings before about planting, those that were coming with us that were helping be a part of that church plant. I looked at that list and I started to cross off the names of all the people that weren't here anymore. I pulled out my little calculator. I did the math. About 75% of them had left the church. As a matter of fact, Stacy and I, we went through some pretty difficult challenges, especially right at the end of our first year. Challenges that at times made us want to pack up and just go back to youth pastoring in Newburgh. But thankfully we didn't. We persevered through those times. And I can say the cool thing is we came out on the other side. And interesting thing, one night after kind of making it through all the difficulties, after all the people had left and we kind of were at that a little over a year and a half, and we're kind of starting to come back on the other side. We kind of have a good group of new core of people and we're kind of moving forward. When most of the difficult times were behind us, at least for the moment, okay, because there are difficulties that happen and challenges as a pastor all the time. But we were kind of over all the big stuff. Whew, kind of felt like, okay, we got things now. The people that are here, they actually like us and they want to be here and want to move forward as a church. And we were feeling good. And one night, my wife and I were laying in bed and she asked me a question. She said, Darren, if God were to say, oh, okay, you were obedient. You've faithfully done what I've asked you to do. You know, you pushed through, you stayed strong through the difficulties, you've been obedient. But now, he says, if you want to go back to youth ministry, you have my blessing. If God told you that, and if he said, all right, you've been good, you've done all the things you've needed to do, you've been obedient, but now you can go back to youth ministry and have my blessing, what would you do? And I think my answer surprised Stacy because right away, too, I said no. Because even though the past 6 months had been some of the toughest days of my life, I was experiencing joy in knowing what God was doing in the lives of those that were still here, those that had come even in the midst of the challenges. And there were some amazing stories happening in the lives of some people that are even in this room today. I remember you were here a couple weeks ago when we brought Greg and Crystal up here to celebrate them becoming foster parents. I remember Crystal was one of those stories that had come out of a life of drugs and a family of difficulties and challenges. And she had gotten baptized and she was doing her best to serve. And she was one that was bringing new people with her to church every single week. She was one of those stories. And you guys know Larry's story. You've heard Larry's story. Larry was one of those stories. These people that God was pulling out of the darkness. That God was restoring and bringing healing to. God was using an uneducated, goofy old youth pastor to draw people back into his presence. And despite the challenges and difficulties, his joy was my strength. And I was experiencing that joy in a way that I never had before. Like I said, with the greatest difficulties come some of the greatest joy. I was experiencing things that I had never experienced before. I wouldn't go back. Not even today. God calls us to obedience. And as we walk out that obedience, the result is a supernatural joy that cannot be explained. Okay, I can't explain why I like adults. Okay, because I've always liked kids and I still love kids. I love youth. I never thought I could enjoy adults, but you guys are pretty cool people, most of you. It's something that cannot be explained. When we walk in obedience, there's a supernatural joy that we get to experience in the midst of the challenges and the difficulties. And the only way I can explain it is this, is that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Listen to what Dwight L. Moody said. He said this. He said, happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it. But joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows all through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring the world cannot see and does not know anything about. The Lord gives His people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to Him. I truly believe joy is a byproduct of obedience, because obedience opens the door to the Holy Spirit in our life. And I also believe this, it's a byproduct of successfully facing challenges that God's call may bring. That when God calls us to things, He doesn't call us to things that are easy. He calls us to things that are above and beyond ourselves. But when we continue to face those challenges, we are able to experience His joy because we're walking in His obedience and living the life that He's called us to live. Because if I'm honest, there have been days where I haven't felt very joyful. There were times in the beginning where I wasn't like, yes, Lord, I am so excited that I get to pastor this church. Days where my wife and I wanted to pack things up and wanted to leave. But as we push through the challenges and as we draw upon His strength, not our own, because we cannot do it on our own, but as we draw upon His strength, it's then that we can experience His joy in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. A joy deeper than any joy the things of this world can give to us. It's the kind of joy that enables us to face the challenges of life. The kind of joy that helps us through whatever challenges we find ourselves up against. We need to understand that joy, it's a gift from God, and it is often accompanied by challenges. But as we push through, we're able to experience His joy in the midst of them. And finally, we need to understand this. That joy is something that we are supposed to share. It's something we're supposed to share with others. Isn't it interesting that God chose two women that were related? As I mentioned earlier, Mary most likely went to see Elizabeth for support, for encouragement, that they could share their experiences. They could walk through this journey together. It meant that neither of them had to be alone in their unusual and challenging circumstances. Plus, I really believe that this connection, this relationship, brought both of them joy. There is a joy that we experience when we know that we're not alone. Right? A deep-seated joy that comes from friendships and relationships with others around us who are partnering with us. And there is joy in knowing that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. These births, they weren't about Mary and Elizabeth. They were about what God was doing in and through them to establish His kingdom. So often we're focused on us when it's about His kingdom. And neither Mary nor Elizabeth could contain the joy they felt in being a part of it. Both of them, they had to share it with the other. And ultimately, they would have to share it with the world. The same is true of us. As believers, the joy God gives us is a joy that we're not supposed to keep to ourselves. Remember the old song, "Hide it under a bushel"? No, right? I'm going to let it shine. It's something that we're called to share. And the cool thing is this, sharing joy is different than sharing French fries. You're looking at me like, what? Wait, I was tracking with him and he just switched gears here. What does he even mean? Let me share with you what I'm thinking about, what I'm talking about. A lot of times as a family, we share French fries to save money, right? You know, when there's four of us, we get two French fries and we kind of split them. But the thing is, when you share French fries or any kind of food for that matter, instead of getting a whole thing of French fries, you get half a thing or even less, depending on who you're sharing with. No one in my family likes to share with me because I eat like three or four fries at a time and I eat my fries first, okay? So I make sure I get more fries than everybody else. But the thing is sharing joy doesn't give us just half the joy. It's not like, oh, here, let's split it in half. Here, you get half the joy and I get half the joy, right? Our joy increases and gets bigger when we share it, the more we give it away. Oftentimes, our joy is contagious and it continues to grow the more we share that joy with others. But the question is, are we sharing it? Are we giving away that joy? Are we sharing that joy with others? Christmas is a reminder of the gift of joy that was given to us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just His presence. Just Mary walking into the room caused John to leap for joy in his mother's womb. When was the last time we leaped for joy? When was the last time we got excited? When was the last time we heard news so wonderful, so incredible that we couldn't contain the joy that we felt inside of us and we just had to let it out? Is there a joy inside of us that is wanting to break out? I want to show you a clip this morning that demonstrates this point that I'm talking about. This idea of not being able to contain what's inside of you. My wife back there is like unable to contain it right at this moment as I'm talking about it, because it's a clip that my wife kept playing over and over and over again in our house. And as she'd play it, she said, "You've got to put this into one of your sermons. Is there any way you can fit this? This is just awesome. Man, you've got to use it." And we had just started our Advent series, and I'm like, you know, maybe this would be a good clip for joy. It just might work as I talk about His joy and not being able to contain His joy. And so we're going to watch this clip in just a minute, but let me set up this clip for you. It's from a show out there called Community, which, if you're unfamiliar with the show, it's based around these seven community college students who are from all walks of life, okay? But in this particular episode, this group, they're a study group, they meet all the time, and so the whole show is about them. And in this particular episode, the school, the college, is trying to entice these seven students to be a part of this Christmas musical, okay? And they have made a pact. We're not going to do this, because they'd got sucked into it before. We're not going to do it. We're going to stay strong. And one by one, they just keep getting picked off. They kind of do something to entice one person to draw them into this musical, okay? And so in this clip that we are about to watch, there is this character whose name is Shirley, okay? and Shirley is the Christian in the group. Okay, now I won't say that she's the best Christian. Okay, but she is kind of the Christian woman in this group. And so they are trying to use her Christianity to draw her to come and be a part of this musical. And as you will see here, her love for Jesus cannot be contained. Okay, so let's watch this clip real quick.
I can't speak for these little angels, though.
There's a magic in the air around us. We all have the sudden urge to beg. It feels like a very special birthday, but whose name should be written on the cake?
You need to get out of here.
We asked our public school to give the answer, but they could only teach us not to pray. The Constitution says the state can't tell us. Was anyone important born today?
I love that clip. It's a very, very, very funny clip. I didn't know if you caught there at the end as they're trying to entice her, and she's like, ooh, ooh, she's scary. I don't know if you heard what she said, you know, as they said, who's born this day? She's like, I got to go tell the babies. I got to go tell them, you know. It's a funny clip, but the reality is, we all have that answer inside of us, that answer that needs to be blurted out, that joy that needs to be shared. It's an answer that has the power to change lives, forever. Like the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Good news of great joy. That's what this season is all about. And that's why John leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb. Does the good news of Jesus still bring us great joy? Does the Holy Spirit fill us with joy? Have we, like Mary and Elizabeth, made ourselves available for joy through a life of devotion and obedience to God? Are we willing to face the challenges that a life with God will bring if it means that in doing so we get to experience His joy, a joy that only He can bring into our lives? I hope that all of us in here are experiencing the joy of the Lord as we walk through this Christmas season. And I hope that our joy isn't limited to what we find in our stockings or underneath the Christmas tree, or if you happen to be able to walk out the door and see that thing with a big giant bow outside, okay? I hope that it's a supernatural joy that changes our hearts, that changes our lives forever. And let me just say this, if for some reason you doubt that a joy like this is even possible, don't forget what Gabriel said to Mary in verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible. It is possible for us to experience His joy this Christmas. And that's my prayer for each of us here. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this season of Christmas, Lord, where we get to celebrate the birth of You coming to this earth. And Lord, we realize as Christians that every day is Christmas. But Lord, we thank You for this time that we get to celebrate, that we get to get excited and share this joy with others. And Lord, my prayer today is one that, Lord, each of us would grab hold of that gift. That joy is a gift that you want to give each of us, but we must grab hold of it, Lord. It's supernatural. It's something that we can't make up on our own. It's something that comes from you, Lord. And often that's in the midst of challenges and difficulties. But as we seek you, as we walk in obedience, as we allow, Lord, your spirit to be poured out upon us, we can experience that gift that you have for us. And so I pray that we grab hold of that gift, that in the midst of the difficulties, we continue to press through and we don't let the circumstances control our joy, Lord. But that we live out that joy that you have for us. And Lord, as we begin to live it out, as we experience it, that Lord, we don't just keep it to ourselves, that we would share it with others, Lord. That we would let your joy flow through us in a way that we can support and encourage and bring joy to those around us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this joy that goes beyond just happiness and circumstances, a joy that goes beyond all things, Lord, that we can experience in and through all things. And so, Lord, we thank you for this joy. We thank you for this message. May it encourage us. May it challenge us. May it help us to experience joy this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.